Rural Focus, and it's time for the next segment of the Deep Herd Local Content Advisor Network series. And this morning we're joined by Alison Maggs, who is the Strategic Sourcing Manager for Walga. Good morning, Alison.
Morning, Tom.
Alison, we've got a few things to discuss today around the topic of qualitative criteria. So what are we looking at in terms of qualitative criteria?
Qualitative criteria are a way that a tender can be measured and each of them can be differentiated. So each supplier that responds to a tender provides answers to a series of questions, and then they're compared by to a benchmark by an evaluation panel.
Okay, so what does the government actually want from your answer when you're submitting one of these?
The easy answer is we want to know you can do the job. Essentially, do you have the right experience? Do you have the right people on board? Have you done the same work before? So it's really about making sure that you can do the work in a timely way to the standard that they require.
Yes, okay. And Alison, how do you structure your answer then? Like, what's a good way to lay it out?
I use a statement. So yes, we can do the work. This is why we can do the work. This is how we have done it. So using examples is a really good tool for a respondent to utilise. And then what was the outcome? Most people tend to say, yes, I can do the work, and then that's about it. And what we really need suppliers to do is prove that to the panel that's looking at their answer. One of the interesting things about evaluation of responses to a tender is that the panel can only use the information submitted by the tenderer. So anything that a panel may know, anything historical or implied, they can't use unless it's mentioned in the tender. So lots of respondents tend to think of when they're writing, oh, they'll know me, I'm a local, I've been doing this job for years. And actually they can't take that into account. They're not allowed. Everybody's got to come on the same playing field. Pretend they don't know you. For example, I was on a panel recently for a regional area in the Wheatbelt. That person didn't know that I was going to be on the panel. He assumed that it would be all locals, and that's how he responded in his application. I didn't know him from, excuse the phrase, a bar of soap. So I viewed his answers very differently, and really that's the way it should be.
And last but not least, Alison, can you give us some examples of a good versus bad response? I suppose that you just gave one, but are there any other examples?
Oh, there certainly are. I get lots of examples across my desk. The most common criteria people tend to get asked is about experience. Have you done the work before? So an example of a good response would be if the request is for building of a fire shed, then you would provide examples and information around the work you've done on building sheds or fire sheds or something else. I had one where someone gave beautiful pictures and detail about how they'd built a 4x2 house, but it wasn't very relevant. Likewise, skills and qualifications. We often ask for information about who's going to undertake the work. What's their background? So don't give us the CEO's CV. We don't necessarily need to know about him. What we want to know is who's going to be on the ground doing the work and what's their experience. What licenses do they hold? How long have they been with the company? Do they have the background to do the work? So again, we had somebody recently apply for an asbestos removal job. They had no experience in dealing with asbestos at all. So needless to say, they didn't score very well in their response. In terms of equipment and machinery, we often ask, do you have the equipment to do the job? How old is that equipment? What's its capacity? So is it capable of doing the work? Has it been maintained really well? And where is it located? If you're going out to somewhere in the Wheatbelt and that machinery is located in Albany, how are you going to get it there? Is it going to remain there for the length of the job? So more information about how you're going to manage. And the last one I'd like to give is occupational health and safety. Every company I know has an occupational health and safety plan, but usually they're generic standing documents. You know, we have worksite meetings, we do this, we do that, here's a form we have. What the people running the tender want to know is, are you interested in their business? So my recommendation to any supplier going after a tender would be, provide an occupational health and safety plan, yes, it can have all that generic information in, but provide it based on the site, the work you're needed to do, and the location. So recently, a couple of months ago, we did a job in the Midwest in the Gascoyne area, and by job I mean tender, and one of the companies didn't even realise that it was literally 3 hours from nowhere, and they were providing their ox health and safety plan as though it was just down the city of Geraldton Street. So again, it's about thinking about that. Did they mention they had satellite phones? Did they mention what they were doing in an emergency in a remote location? So it's about thinking about what you say and how someone else will read it.
Alison, thank you very much for joining us here this morning.
A pleasure.